Mark 10, 17 to 31. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, you shall not defraud. Honour your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go, sell everything you have, give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." We'll stop there, I think. Mark's Gospel is a wonderful book, but it likes to make contrasts. And right as we've been studying the book right through, we've seen this contrast between the way the rich and the powerful live and the way Jesus lives. Herod has banquets for only the very few people. And at one of his banquets, he killed John the Baptist. Jesus feeds the 5,000. Jesus feeds the 4,000. Whereas the ruling classes oppress the people of God, oppress God's work, it's the poor who receive it and accept it and are blessed. And Mark just kind of hammers the point home. Mark's not subtle, really, in his arguments. And he brings us the picture of this young man. Wealthy man, rich man, who gets the opportunity of a lifetime and turns it down. Don't know his name. And it senses, as for a preacher, he's a bit of an easy target. But you've got to be careful if you're a preacher, because it says that Jesus loved him. So you've got to try and get inside his mind and his heart, inside his mindset, to love him too, to understand how Jesus loved him and how disappointed Jesus was when he turned his back and walked away. And it strikes me as we go through this how easy it is to walk away from Jesus. It's very easy, isn't it? So easy. People do it. You walk away from Jesus. We just had the children and the adults, you've just been enjoying yourselves, filling in a board with stickers saying how wonderful Jesus is. But, you know, it is very easy to walk away. You're not shackled to Jesus by chains, are you? You're not tied to Jesus. You can walk away from him. Well, that's frightening. And it came to mind another story of another rich young man who was English, born in 1759. He was educated at Hull Grammar School. He came from a family of merchants. He was novo rich. His family were very, very wealthy. And although his father died when he was 9, his mother sent him to live near London. And this is a picture of him. Anyway, let's have a picture of him. And it's not a great picture, is it? I'm sorry, William. His name's William Wilberforce. And his aunts, who he went to live with, where he's brought up in London, were strongly evangelical in faith. And as a young man, he heard preachers like George Whitfield and John Wesley. And when he was 12, William decided that he'd follow Jesus. And he did follow Jesus for a few years. But then he drifted away. Just drifted away. There was no conscious decision to stop following Jesus. Jesus got crowded out of his life. He ended up at Cambridge University, St. John's College there. And by then he was witty, charming, had loads of friends, a lot of young friends equally as rich as he was. And he had natural charisma and people gathered around him. And then at one point, shortly after he finishing at Cambridge, something got to him. He began to reflect on his own life and how useless his life was. And come Easter 1786, he was 27 years of age, he came back to Jesus. And when William came back to Jesus, he came back to Jesus in a big way. And from that moment on, he began to throw himself. He was, by this time, he'd got himself into Parliament. He was rich enough to be an MP in those days. And he got into Parliament and he began to look around and he spotted the slave trade. And he looked at the slave trade and decided this was completely and utterly wrong. And he began to campaign against the slave trade. And he took bills to Parliament which were defeated. And next year he'd come back with another bill and it would be defeated. And the year after that, he'd take it back, it would be defeated. And he began to show people the dangers of the slave trade. And we got on the screen one of his quotes: "You may choose to look the other way, but you can never say again that you did not know." And as he died, the slave trade was being abolished. It's a fantastic, one of the great life stories of the world. He became a member of the Clapham sect, as it was known. From the ruling class, wealth, but a man who made an outstanding impact on society. Whereas the young man who came to Jesus, well, less so. Less so. It's a wealth that left Jesus cold. It was a sincerity that left Jesus impressed. He really did want to know God. He really did want to follow God. But the price, the cost was too high. I know Michael Green, the evangelist, asks people if they're Christians. And if they say no, he says, "Is it something you can't believe or something you can't give up?" In the case of this young man, it was something he couldn't give up. That was his wealth. That was his wealthy lifestyle. Jesus then gives him what I think is a remarkable call. Jesus called him to a missionary lifestyle. Jesus called him to give up his wealth and come and join him and his disciples and go and preach Jesus across the world. It wasn't just a call to follow Jesus. This was a call to be a missionary. I've only known one person in all my life who the day he committed his life to Christ, he was called to be a missionary. Of all the thousands of people I've known and heard their story, only one has a similar experience of being called to be a missionary. He said the moment he committed his life to Jesus, he knew he was going to be a cross-cultural missionary overseas. And he was. As we mark, it's so rare. It is the rarest thing. You know, I feel privileged to have met somebody who had that kind of call on the day they gave their life to Jesus. It must be quite daunting. I mean, it's a big enough change when you receive Jesus into your heart anyway, isn't it? I mean, life suddenly begins to look oh so very different. But at that moment, to know that you're going to have to go abroad and preach to him, you don't know where, must be just stunning, amazing experience. And this is what this guy had. He says, "Tell you what, I'm going to turn you into a preacher. I'm going to turn you into a Christian leader. You are going to change history, young man. What an opportunity. What an opportunity. And how very, very sad when he didn't accept it. He walked away. Some years ago, my wife and I were talking about this, and she pointed out, she said, "Do you know, Jesus didn't run after him. Jesus didn't chase him. Jesus didn't get his phone number and text him every day till he changed his mind. Jesus didn't befriend him on Facebook and keep sending him messages, 'Come and follow me.' Jesus let him go. It's that easy to walk away from Jesus. It's frightening. It frightens me. Jesus let him go. Jesus gives us that freedom. It's a frightening freedom. But Jesus says, 'Come and follow me.' Because it said he had many possessions. Maybe that's part of our problem. We've got so many opportunities. We have such a comfortable lifestyle in the UK. I was reading Jim Wallace's story of how he became a Christian, and he became a Christian, and then I don't know, just he couldn't find what life was about. Just raising his hand and saying that he asked Jesus into life wasn't enough for him. And then one day he began to go into the inner city and work with his friends in inner city Washington, and began to see the poverty. And that was the moment that it all became true. That was the moment for him that following Jesus meant something, as he laid down his life and went to work with the poor people. Jim Ross has been in prison a number of times for protesting in the streets against measures that were challenging the poor. Jesus said, "Come and follow me. Come, follow me." And the man's face fell. It's frightening.